Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. The Bible doesn't condemn gays. I come on here often. I have this question. If you think gay is sin, then what is the problem of explaining it to gay people? And I'm saying this because you people that think gay is sin, you got certain kinds of statements that you say, and you will never ever go further than that. You will say, it's in the Bible. You'll say, God hates it. You'll say, it's so simple. It's so clear. You'll quote a verse. Or you will tell the gay person to read such and such verse. And that is about the extent of it. You say, there is a solution. Change and be straight. Stop practicing being gay. These are the words that maximizes the amount of knowledge you seem to possess about gays. Tell me how I can get across to you that if you really, really, honestly think gay is sin, and you think the Bible says so, then tell me how. Don't tell me a verse. There's plenty of verses. There's 14 that people that think gay is sin use to condemn gays, and most of those 14 aren't really used, but they're at least related. The word sodomite is in 7 verses, but most of those verses aren't used. It just happens to have the very same word that are in the verses that you use. You know, is it really this kind of difficult for you? Is it really this kind of difficult for you to say what sodomite means? At best, you'll say it means sodomy, which wasn't invented until 900 years ago, which is kind of interesting. You know, when this word sodomy was invented, do you know who invented it? The Vatican. Do you know why? Do you know the surrounding things? And did you know how they went about to choose verses to back up their condemnation of something new they invented called sodomy? That they made a name? And today, it seems like almost all of you actually really believe that sodomy is just another form of the word sodomite. Which is, you know, how did you do this? If you know, there's about 630 million gay people, and this is the kind of effort that you put into it. You say you love the person. You say that that God loves them. You want to witness to them and bring gay people to Jesus. You think it's sin, so you think they need to change. It doesn't matter that a gay person comes to Jesus, and so many things change. You know, when you came to Jesus, you did a 180. You were facing this way, and then you turn around, and you completely face the other way, and you started walking back. You didn't skip all that distance towards sin that you were walking. You were walking towards hell. It's a long walk, and you turned around, and there was no airplane or train or something that you could take and get back to sinless. No, you had to come all the way back, and that trail wasn't very straight. You're begging Jesus to make the crooked way straight and so forth. But you know that yourself accepted Jesus, and you did 180 degrees and started working, because you're not, unless you are, you really going to tell me that you're sinless and without sin? Or are you going to say you have a lot of trouble along the way? And sometimes it's really terrible. And sometimes you could say things like, I'm chief sinner. And so forth. To yourself. as you're trying to fight the good fight and do the will of God. But you want a gay person to have one sign only, and that is they become straight. But you know, when you go to church, you listen to your pastor, go into great depths and great details concerning Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all the different apostles and what they did and their ministry. You know, you like to go into the details of it. Get out the ancient language, the original Greek and Hebrew, and divide it all up and find out exacting word meanings, because you know that today's modern English and today's modern Hebrew and today's modern Greek aren't necessarily defining the words that when these words were used in Jesus' day or Moses' day. And you're happy and you love it when these scholars come up to you and break apart these words and show you what it meant in those days. But when it comes to the gay topic, you don't want to hear of it. You don't want to spend an extra minute to see if your voice, your mouth that says gay is sin, that is sending hundreds of millions of gays to hell without hope in God unless they change and be straight. You can't even spend a second, a moment. You got a ready answer. God hates it. Instant response. It's in the Bible. Boy, you got the answer right away. What's even more strange is how you can tell a person, say like me, I've been on TV for 22 years talking about this subject. I know something about the Word of God concerning gays. I know the verses that you're talking about. I know the time setting. I know what the words meant in those days that they were spoke. I know a lot about the situation. I know a lot about today's gays and yesterday's gays. I know what gays were called back in Jesus' day, and so forth. And so I know these things. I know the Bible on this issue. And yet, often, you'll see this phone number up here, or one of the other information. What do? You make a little statement. It's sin. It's so clear. Now, if it is this clear, why can't you explain it? Now, if I dare bring up the ancient language and say sodomite means a male temple prostitute, no ifs, no ands, and no buts, you've got the archaeological findings, you've got the historical findings, you've got the Bible, massive amount of information concerning these sodomites in the kind of fertility temples that were there. We got all manner of information. But if I tell you this information, you say, I'm justifying. Now, I'm not here on a defense kind of thing or anything. I earnestly want you to think about what you say. If you say gay is sin, I don't care what you think. I already know what's going to happen to you. You may not think gay people get any information from God. Hey, I'm Pentecostal, you know. If you don't know anything about Pentecostals and what kind of things they believe, as it were, hey, that's your too bad. I know some things personally with Jesus. I'm trying to give you some facts because I don't want to go hooting and hollering about Jesus told me this and God told me this and all that kind of stuff. But today I'm going to tell you that. And I know some things. And I know what's going to happen to you. I don't have to come in here and talk to you about this stuff. I'm talking to you for a reason. I don't want you to perish. You may think you're not. It doesn't make a lot of difference what you think today. The stuff ain't happening yet. People, you got this idea that the last days is a game. You don't even know the half of it, of what's going to happen to you. And not because of any particular issue, but because of the particular issue, it is going to go especially hard on you because it is not tolerable. You're not going to be able to be raptured as filthy as you are. And this game of symbolism of saying we are washed in the blood ain't going to do it. That's gotten you by. For 2,000 years, that worked quite well. Because Jesus can't see anything. I mean, God can't see anything when he looks at you because he sees Jesus. No matter what anybody tells him about your sin, he looks all manner of depths into you and he cannot see anything but Jesus. And he just can't comprehend it how that Satan or anybody else is accusing a Christian of any kind of sin because he sees the purity of Jesus. Now we all know the complexity of the symbolicness of this concept of Christianity. We're washed in the blood. We're covered in the blood. Satan goes up to accuse us and so forth. And Jesus is the intermediator. So God sees Jesus. But you see, that is a wonderful thing for the past 2,000 years. So it doesn't matter the filth that you have, the false doctrine, the things that you hate that shouldn't be hated, all manner of persecution that's done by the church for the past 2,000 years basically are forgivable. Now, people doing kind of pretty bad sins. And don't get me wrong here. I don't advocate going to sin. You got to listen. You certainly listen to your pastor. And you don't judge some of the phrases that he says so you could dissect it to turn it around and twist it around to mean something else. You know what I'm talking about when I say that we are covered in grace. If we keep our faith in Jesus Christ, that God rose him on the third day and he died on the cross for us. He first loved us and he's the only Son of God, born of a virgin. God rose him on the third day. We keep this fundamental belief in Jesus Christ, this faith. We are saved by grace. So should we die in this kind of faith, it matters not our incorrect doctrine, because everywhere you turn, the doctrines are all wrong. There is no church that has correct doctrine 100%. I mean, the churches differ considerably. However, a lot of the churches has a fundamental belief that Jesus is the Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he's the only Son of God, that he was born of a virgin. And he rose on the third day. This is fairly a common, fundamental belief of Christians church-wide. And there are denominations that stray away from that. Hey, that's your problem. I'm talking about you. If you die in the fundamental belief that Jesus is the Christ, you got it made. Free ride to heaven. Well, of course, you're still going to get literally washed in the blood. But that happens when you enter death's gate. We have this thing in the scripture, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? That's because it would have killed you if you didn't believe in Jesus. But since you believe in Jesus and you're going through that death gate, it has no sting and it has no victory. And the sting is the sting of death. And that's the victory death has over non-believers. But past that gate, you go into a washing machine. and the detergent is the blood of Christ. And you begin to get all of this kind of manner of stuff that you got from 2,000 years of conditioning and all manner of man's traditions and culture and false doctrine and all stuff that you seem to hook onto that isn't beneficial at all. And this gets cleaned up from you, because when you die, you don't have your... The dead rise first. In other words, you get your spirit body. You ain't gonna get a spirit body until you cleaned up of this kind of mess. But if you died in Christ, you do get cleaned up, because you're washed in the blood of Christ, going through the death gate. Then comes the time of the rapture, and you arise before the rapture in your spirit body clean. But we which are alive don't have this kind of privilege to die in our faith. Yes, we'll be dying like fleas in our faith up to the very end, up to the moments before the rapture. But we don't have that luxury of the guarantee that we will be in heaven. If you're alive, you don't have that guarantee, people. The guarantee has a contract breaker in it. It's not Satan. He can't break the contract. Jesus ain't gonna do it. There is no force in existence that could break the contract, for it is binding. But you see, there is an individual that signs that contract, that says, "Jesus, I believe on you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, that you're the only Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. You signed this contract, and you meant it with all your heart, and you believed it, and fell in love with Jesus. You always have free will and free choice, and you can turn from God." There's some people that says, "Once saved, always saved." It ain't the case, people. The Bible is just too full of verses that talks about people that once knew God, and they turned their backs on Him and turned to fertility gods. And part of the issue about you condemning gays is straight Hebrew men often went to fertility temples, to the male temple prostitutes there, to receive blessings from the gods and goddesses in those temples. They turned to other gods. God didn't like this kind of stuff. But somehow or another, you grasped hold of this idea and said, "Gay is sin." How'd you do that? The Bible is so descriptive. It details and details and details. Gives you behaviors. It gives you a before and after and all manner of information to you. You got a general concept of the idea that you have to be an adult and have to already been a Christian. And then you made a decision to go to other gods. And yet somehow you say 630 million gays are doing this. That they somehow knew God, and because they turned from God, God made them gay. If you're using the verses that you use, you better understand what they mean. You better understand. Because it isn't going to go well. I tell you, people, time is running out for some of your false doctrines. You're conditioned for this thing against gay 700 plus years. 710, 720, something like that. The high, powerful Christian leaders wanted to create scandal to get people boosted out of power. And these people scoured the Bible to bring up some verses. They got about 11. They seem to have something to do with male-to-male sex. Or you don't have a far cry to have this in your imagination. If somebody told you this is what it was, and this is what happened, they put together an anti-gay doctrine so that they could point fingers at leaders and then create a scandal, and then that person gets impeached. And then these same powerful Catholic leaders found somebody else that more fit their idealisms and got them into power. Now, history tells us that this backfired, that, as it were, their enemies that didn't have their same ideals pointed fingers at them and said, you're gay. And the same scandal happened, and they got impeached, as it were. This is history. You can't undo history. But somehow or another, you use these verses that they developed to create scandal to make gay sin. Each verse has a history. And you can't just say somehow today you're so intelligent that you far exceed any other Christian in history. And you far outweigh any circumstances or vast number of centuries of teaching a verse a certain way. You just toss it in the trash bin and say, it's the way you think it is. This is not how it happens, people. You can't just say, God said it, unless God said it. And if God said it, you can go to the Bible. But you can't go to the Bible and say, God said gay is sin, and then you start bringing verses out that talks about gang rape, temple prostitutes, people that has been, because of this, had been given over to such horribleness. I mean, it's a wonder that they aren't all in prison because of the types of behaviors that they commit. Reprobate mind. You love this kind of word. But why can't you match it? Compare it to real present-day gays and any gays throughout history. You'll find true gays, the gays that you're condemning, do not meet the description, the detailed description the Bible gives. And the Bible gives lots of details about who it's condemning. And so if you want to condemn gays, you got to actually get the Word of God out and point to the places that you say means gays. Then you have to explain how you got it to say that. Then there's tons of information about that you've got to explain. The blessings gays receive, the physical healings, the miracles, the answered prayer, the visibleness of other Christians looking into this. So come on, people. Get with it. If you want to say gay is sin, explain how you got it there, because your wishes isn't the Word of God. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God and that God rose You on the third day. I believe that You died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The initial evidence will be speaking in other tongues. And people, read the King James Bible. All others are Satan counterfeit. Get ready. Things are about to change.